friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we're going to be examining, I believe, an important issue. It's an issue that's going to impact your life and mine. I think it'll do so this year and next year and every year until Jesus comes again, probably. And I'm talking about Russia, the Soviet Union. Well, I know that name USSR or Soviet Union doesn't formally exist, but it really does. And many people, of course, are convinced that Russia is no threat to the United States. And I'm convinced of that as well, to be very honest with you. I do not believe that Russia itself is a threat to the United States. And today we're going to be talking about the reason why Russia is not a threat. Now, some people may be surprised that I make that statement, but I think that by the end of today's program, you're going to see a different light about American foreign policy, especially with one of the largest nations on earth, you know, except for, let's say, China and the United States. This is the largest. I don't believe it's necessarily one of the most powerful anymore, militarily, never has been economically. But I'm talking about Russia, of course. Certainly we have a huge country. Just the nation of Russia alone probably has, demographers say, around 170 million people. And, of course, if you count all of the various republics, Georgia, Chechnya, Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan, and so forth, you begin to move up to around 250 to 300 million people. And in fact, all of those former closely controlled Russian republics are still controlled, I believe, behind the scenes by the same people, the same communists that used to control them. But they do so in a different format, as you will see. And they work hand in glove with the American oligarchs, the American elite, and the European elite as well. Now, today the topic has a title. It's called Amorous. America, Russia combined. Amorous. And we're going to be exposing the Illuminati's plot to merge the United States and Russia. Imagine. Could it be true? Could this incredible landmass that goes from Europe all the way to Siberia, to Asia, and borders with China, this great country of Russia, could someday, very soon in fact, that whole nation be merged with America? Could it be made as one? Well, I want you to understand that at least a part of Russia already belongs to America and has been merged with the United States. It's called Alaska. Yes, for a very small pittance of a price, America bought Alaska in the last century and mailed it, well, not now, they were in the 21st, two centuries ago, and melded Alaska into the United States. And it has only been our generation that Alaska became a state. For many years, when I was a child, we had 48 states, and then we added Hawaii and Alaska. But Alaska, in fact, was part of Siberia, and all you have to do is cross a few miles to the Bering Strait, and you'll be in Siberia. And as a matter of fact, for years, Soviet submarines have operated in the waters off Alaska. And there are some in Russia today who believe that Alaska should be merged back into Russia. But that may not be necessary if the Illuminati plot takes place. You know, back in 1986, I was at a bookstore, and I saw an incredible magazine. That's a New Age magazine called Whole Earth Review. I have a copy of that magazine on my desk today. on the magazine, there is a picture of the United States flag and the hammer and sickle of the Russian flag, and they're all merged together as one. As one. And the title of that magazine, Whole Earth Review, the title of its feature article is Amorous. And it says in the fine print, joining Russia and America into one country. And there's an article here by Mr. Robert Fuller, starting on page 30 of the Whole Earth Review. And the article proposes that plans that evidently the magazine claims are already apace be escalated so that Russia and America could be merged and made one nation. Editor Kevin Kelly wrote in Whole Earth Review, he said, quote, at first glance, the idea of melding America and Russia seems preposterous. But, he said, the concept of Amorous is a work in progress. What did Kelly mean when he wrote that the merger of Russia and America is a work in process, or excuse me, progress? Well, in the article in Whole Earth Review magazine, also called the Whole Earth Review Journal, Robert Fuller gave us a peek of what is going on behind the scenes. And let me quote him. He states, and I quote, could the leaders, let alone the people of the United States, ever be brought to entertain such a plan? That is, to merge the United States and Russia? In grappling with this question, says Fuller, one's thoughts turn conspiratorial. Should everything be arranged in secret, he writes, and then foisted on an unsuspecting world? Did you catch those key words and phrases, my friends, of Fuller's? He says, one's thoughts turn conspiratorial. Then he uses the phrase arranged in secret and then foisted. That means thrust upon an unsuspecting world. Amazingly, Fuller goes on to remark that, quote, perhaps these two countries, Russia and America, have already devised plans to do just this. Friends, that was back in 1986. That was back before the Berlin Wall fell, before Eastern Europe and the Iron Curtain was decimated, and supposedly the freedoms that we have enjoyed for so long began to enter into the Russian economy and culture. And yet here we see in this premier New Age journal, they're talking about conspiracy, doing things in secret, foisting on an unsuspecting world. What? The merger of Russia and the United States, which were previously considered the world's two superpowers. Now, from that moment on, I began to study this issue very carefully. Could it be that there were secret plans already afoot, already devised, concocted, in the files of the KGB in Russia and the Central Intelligence Agency in the United States and in other secret spy files in nations such as Israel and so forth? Could there be plans sitting there all ready to go? In fact, are these plans already being worked? And have they been worked? Was the fall of the Soviet Union planned by the Bilderbergers? By the elite? By the people who, in my book, Circle of Intrigue, I call the hidden inner circle of the Illuminati? I'm convinced this is exactly right. And today I'm going to give you some facts, some figures, some amazing documentation of this. Now, from Whole Earth Review, we go to a journal called the World Policy Journal. The World Policy Journal. The fall and winter issue, 1992, now remember this was 6 years after the Whole Earth Review article. In the World Policy Journal, Walter Russell Mead, a senior counselor at the World Policy Institute, an ultra-liberal globalism think tank affiliated with New York City's socialist New School for Social Research, for the first time set forth publicly the Illuminati's detailed plan to accomplish their grotesque objective of merging the United States and Russia. In an article entitled, and get this, More Stars in Our Flag, a modest proposal for U.S. policy after the Cold War, Mr. Mead writes that the cure to Russia's economic and social problems, and what could be a great spur and boon to the economy of the United States, has an easy answer. He says the answer, and I'm going to quote him, is really very simple. Simply put, now this is a quote, the United States should buy Siberia from Russia at a fair price, perhaps in the range of $2 to $3 trillion. All the inhabitants of Siberia, writes Mead, would then become American citizens with all the rights and privileges the rest of us enjoy. Siberia, of course, my friends, is the biggest, the largest province in Russia, and it is a great vast land, which by itself is as large as the landmass of the United States, and Siberia is very rich, although many people think of it as a cold Arctic wasteland. In fact, Siberia possesses much of the world's incredible stores of minerals. Zinc, iron ore, gold, oil, natural resources of unbelievable wealth await he who owns Siberia. And Mead, of course, recognizes this, as does the World Policy Institute. Mead says his is simply a modest proposal, but it is not at all modest. It is, in fact, it is in reality, a disingenuous, monumental plot to enlarge America by injecting a dose of Asiatic Soviet culture into our nation. And this new multinational impact into our culture would radically and forever change our nation into a Frankensteinian globalist entity, my friends. It would also mean that citizens of today's 50 U.S. states would be forced to redistribute our wealth and income, giving it away to the desperately poor people in these new added territories to the east. One expert notes that Americans once enjoyed going to see movies and discovering the Wild West. But if we were to take over Siberia or Russia and merge it in the United States, because so much of it is undiscovered, unplundered for now, and fresh, that we would probably be seeing movies in the future of sort of a Wild East motif. It was Horace Greeley, the educator, who it is said once told Eastern young men, Easterners, that means Eastern United States, go west, young man, go west. But now will they be saying, go east, young man, go east? Perhaps so. But listen to what Mead writes. You see, once you and I pay from our tax dollars $2 to $3 trillion to buy up Siberia alone, then, says Mead, quote, the United States would begin a massive program of infrastructure development and environmental cleanup in the region, large areas would be set aside as parks and nature reserves. Existing facilities would be upgraded to meet environmental standards, of course. Now, we get the plot already, don't we, my friends? You see, Siberia is, in fact, an industrial wasteland today. There are nuclear factories. There are pollutant factories. Incredible pollution to the waters and the forest and the land there. Why? Because the communists almost destroyed that nation with its just naked industrial production. So we're going to go in now, and after we buy the place, we're going to clean it up. We're going to spend evidently billions more dollars on environmental cleanups. But, of course, most of the land will be off limits to the common people. Don't think, my friend, that you're going to be able to go see some national park in Siberia in the years to come or some wildlife reserve. That'll be off limits to you. I mean, after all, we've got to preserve the pristine nature, even now, at these international United Nations biosphere reserves that they call national parks in the United States. They're beginning to close off roads. Friends, you can't see all of Yellowstone anymore, National Park. You can't see all of Big Bend National Park. You're not allowed to go into the more virgin areas of Yosemite National Park or Sequoia National Forest. Oh, no. Those are reserved for the elite. They can go in there. The Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Clintons and all of them can go in there with all of their rich friends and do anything they want. They can hunt the bison and the elk and the deer and wolves, anything they want. Nobody's going to stop them. But you don't tread into those national parks. They're closing them off. They're closing the national parks to loggers and to tourists and to everyone. Pretty soon you won't even be able to see the Grand Canyon except in pictures and on video. No one will be allowed in except the elite. And that's what, of course, will happen even in Siberia. Here is the sales technique that Meade offers. He says, despite the high cost, Siberia would be a good investment for the United States government. Going into debt to buy Siberia is not stealing from future generations. It is investing for them. Well, won't that make us feel so good? See, right now we have a surplus, we're told. Soon the national debt of the United States will be paid off. And in fact, they're saying there might even be as much as a $6 trillion surplus. Now, George W. Bush would like to give that back, at least some of it, $1.5 trillion or so back to us in the form of tax cuts. But if we are going to have a surplus, we have to understand it's because we're being overtaxed. How do you get a surplus at the federal government? It's not by magic. It's not created out of thin air. They tax the people too much. And then they say, oh, we tax the people more than we have bills to pay. And George W. Bush says, well, let's give some of the money back to the people if we overtaxed them. But, of course, the liberals say, oh, no, we can't do that. Let's just spend more. Where would be a good place to spend? Well, how about $2 or $3 trillion to buy most of Russia? After all, they're desperately poor. The people are starving to death. It's wintertime. They have no food. There's not enough fuel, even though they're the most gas and oil-rich nation in the world, bar none, bar even the Middle East can't compare with the mineral resources of Russia. That's true. And yet they're poor. Why are they poor? Why are they desperately in need of clothes and consumer goods? Why is it that two or three families have to live in one small flat or apartment at a time, and the heating system doesn't work, and there is no air conditioning, of course, and the furniture has holes in it, and the mattresses are rotting and smell? Why? Because the communist elite ran the country since 1917. The very rich Illuminati Jews under Vladimir Lenin and Leon Trotsky and Kaganovich and Stalin took over that nation and have destroyed the economy. and, of course, polluted the environment. But wait! The Lone Ranger will come in and save the day, America, with trillions of our dollars. And then, of course, once these millions of poor people are brought into the American, 160 million eventually Russians become Americans, how many of them will be on welfare? Almost all of them. Out of 160 million, I can safely predict that 158 million of them will be on welfare of one kind or another. And you and I will pay. There will be massive redistribution of wealth. And only the very elite will live the good life. This is really the future that they have planned for us with the merger of Russia and the United States. It sounds good at first. The largesse of this incredible mineral resource-rich Siberia coming into American hands. And after all, look at what happened in the past. When America bought, for example, the Louisiana Purchase, many of the southern states from Napoleon. Wasn't that successful? And, of course, we took Texas. Well, we didn't take it. The Texans won their own independence. And then the United States brought Texas into the Union. Then there was the war with Mexico that gave us New Mexico and California and so forth. That seemed to work out. So why don't we just keep going all the way over through Alaska right into Siberia and Russia? You know, the American spirit of adventure at first says, wonderful, let's do it. But then there are 160 million mouths just in Russia, not counting Kazakhstan, Turkestan, Chechnya, and all of the other republics to be fed. Well, believe me, you and I will be paying for this. Who then will get the world's most valuable deposits of oil, gas, diamonds, gold? Who do you think? Already, my friends, these mineral-rich resources have been privatized. They used to belong to the communist government, but no longer. Well, who owns them? Who do you think? The Illuminati, the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and all of the clans, the blood dynasties of the Illuminati. And I'm talking mainly about the Jewish rich families of the Illuminati now control Russia. It is a fact, my friend, that there are Jewish mafia who now run Russia behind the scenes. Not the Russian people. They don't have freedom over there. And people such as Borisovsky and others run Russia. They're the new rulers of Russia. Almost all of them Jewish. And any politician now in place in Russia is controlled like a puppet by these men. Now, I want you to understand that it has been fated for many years now that this occur in Russia. Russia has been driven into the ground ever since the days of the czars, especially since about 1905, when the Illuminati caused a great war between Japan and Russia. And then shortly thereafter, World War I began, and Russia was plunged into a war with Germany and other powers. And then finally in 1917, when Lenin, with the Illuminati Jews, took charge as Bolsheviks and then as communists, grabbed hold of the hair of the head of Russia and brought it into the sphere of the Illuminati. I believe that much of this, of course, is very prophetic, and we have to understand that when you read Ezekiel chapter 38, you hear about the great country to the north of Israel that will invade in the last days, and there will be many incredible things that would happen. Some say even the man who would be Gog or the beast will come from Russia. What we do know now is that Russia is in desperate straits. Recently, a Russian commission met under the authority of the new Russian leader, Vladimir Putin, who took over from Boris Yeltsin. Putin, of course, like Yeltsin, is a creation of the KGB secret police in Russia. Now, listen to this. This parliamentary commission was empowered to analyze prospects for the future, but they issued a very dire report. They flatly stated that there are three serious problems that will emerge by the year 2003. And by that time, Russia could completely collapse. Completely collapse. They report that the first problem is Russia's infrastructure, which is teetering on the precipice of collapse, thanks to years of neglect. The infrastructure, highways, bridges, dams, nuclear plants, factories. It is collapsing. It is antique. It is old. It is ancient. It is decayed and decrepit. And it's about ready to meet its death. The second great problem is Russia's great debt. They have been borrowing billions and billions of dollars from the foreign international bankers, meaning mostly American bankers. In other words, they borrowed money from the Illuminati. The Illuminati have borrowed money from the Illuminati. And now, in a little shell game arrangement, they're saying pay it back. But the Russians have no money to pay it back. And when you own resources as collateral, and you can't pay back money you owe, what do you have to give up? The resources. And I believe that the Illuminati bankers will say, if you don't have the money to pay back our debts, the tens of billions of dollars we gave you, that's okay. Give us your gold mines. Give us your diamond mines. Give us your oil and your gas and your zinc and your chromium and your ore. And all of the other rich resources. Give us that, the collateral that you put up in the first place. Now, the third problem of Russia, according to this commission of the Russian Duma, which is the name of the Russian parliament, the third problem is described as the plunging birth rate. Friends, Russia is a dying society. It's an amazing thing that because of alcoholism, because of a broken-down medical system where people are dying, because of euthanasia being practiced in Russia, because of so many people dying at such early age through sickness and in health because of lack of heat in the winter and so forth, lack of medicines and on and on and on, and just plain misery and depression and people giving up in gloom and doom. Did you know that there is already a shortage of available workers, and nobody wants to work hard in Russia, not as long as vodka is flowing? And friends, there are not many new babies being produced. Abortion is rampant throughout Russia. And that means that Russia is not reviving, or I should say, is not going to survive for many years, because more people are dying than are being born. So it is a declining society. Well, now, when we come back, we're going to have much more for you on Russia and this incredible plan to merge the United States and Russia, and how it'll impact you and me if it's carried out. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Recently, I was reading about the communist revolution inside Russia and how they were able to take over the entire Soviet Union, plus much of Eastern Europe and China and a lot of Asia. Read about Karl Marx and how he was a hater of God, a satanic man, a Jew who also really despised even the Orthodox Jewish religion.
And you have to understand that for decades, even centuries, the Illuminati have wanted to create a new world order, a global system with them at the peak of power. Karl Marx, of course, was just one of their theoreticians, one of their propagandists. Vladimir Lenin, of course, and Trotsky put his ideas into action in Soviet Russia. And, of course, millions of people have died in terrible pogroms there, in horrible gulag concentration camps, through massacres and purges of Lenin and his henchmen and Stalin and Khrushchev and all of the other oligarchs of Russia. But I want you to understand something. The same people who created communism in Russia have been working in the United States and Europe to create the same kind of system. And Russia has been an experiment. They decided to drive Russia economically into the ground, into the dirt, destroy the economy of Russia, leaving all of its mineral resources in reserve for later use. And they have destroyed Russia, and they have made the people so very poor. Russia under the Tsars was one of the richest nations in the world, but today it is just a pitiful mess of human flesh. The great agricultural economy that actually fed other countries. That's right. At one time, before 1917, Russia actually exported grain, wheat, food to other points throughout the world. But since the days of the communists, they can't even feed themselves. And it's gotten worse and worse and worse. Friends, this is the fate that the Illuminati elite have planned for America. But first, they must drive us into the dust as well. They must make us as poor as they made Russia. And they're going to do it if they're able to merge us with Russia. Now, recently I was investigating the incredible findings of Congressman Norman Dodd. Congressman Dodd, back in the 50s, was director of a very special committee. It was called the Committee to Investigate Tax-Exempt Foundations. You know, the Carnegie Institute, the Rockefeller Foundation, and all of these very rich globalist foundations. Well, Congressman Norman Dodd was director of the committee to investigate these foundations, and he began to hold hearings. And then he reported back to the House of Representatives his findings. Let me tell you what he wrote about of the Ford Foundation. Now, Henry Ford, of course, started the Ford Foundation, but with his death, it was taken over by the Illuminati and has been used as one of the principal ways that they are funding various experimental projects in the United States and the world today. Norman Dodd says that while he was investigating these various foundations, tax-exempt foundations, he suddenly got a phone call in 1953 from the head of the Ford Foundation. That was Mr. Roman Gaither. Mr. Gaither gave Mr. Dodd, the congressman, an invitation to come and visit the Ford Foundation offices. Let me read to you what Mr. Dodd was told when he arrived at the offices. He said that the visit occurred in 1953. Quote, on arrival, I was greeted by Mr. Roman Gaither, the president of the Ford Foundation, with this statement. Quote, Mr. Dodd, we have invited you to come to New York and stop in and see us in the hope that off the record, you would tell us why the Congress of the United States should be interested in operations such as ours. Before I could think of just exactly how I would reply, said Mr. Dodd, Congressman Dodd, Mr. Gaither of the Ford Foundation volunteered the following information, and these are practically in his exact words. Now, folks, listen up very carefully. Listen very carefully. This is the head of the Ford Foundation And here's what he said. He said, Mr. Dodd, we operate here under directives which emanate from the White House. Would you like to know what the substance of these directives is? I said, indeed I would, Mr. Gaither. Whereupon he then said the following, quote, we here operate and control our grant-making policies in harmony with directives, the substance of which is as follows. We shall use our grant-making power so as to alter life in the United States that it can be comfortably merged with the Soviet Union. Did you get that, my friends? Directives from the White House caused the Ford Foundation to use its grant-making power, quote, so as to alter life in the United States that it can be comfortably merged with the Soviet Union. Now, Congressman Dodd later spoke to the chairman of another committee in open hearings, and he said this. He said, this is a shocking, almost unbelievable an attitude that, as you can run across. He said, yet the Ford Foundation was the largest congregation, or largest aggregation of privately directed wealth in the United States at the time. He goes on to talk about the Carnegie Endowment, the United Nations, and many other groups. Friends, this has been in the planning stages, as you can see, for many, many years. Now, it's interesting to me. I was reading recently Foster Bailey. He's with the Lucis Trust. The Lucis Trust. They used to be called Lucifer Publishing, and they're one of the largest New Age organizations in the world. They operate hand in glove with the United Nations, and they're headquartered in Geneva, Switzerland, in London, England, and in New York City, New York. Here's what Foster Bailey had to say of Russia. You'll find it most interesting, my friends. And by the way, this was reported in Don Bell Reports back September 16th, 1966. He said, quote, the condition in Russia today is one of the best examples we have of how the hierarchy, and he's talking, my friends, about the devil, the demonic hierarchy, spirit guides from another world. He said, is one of the best examples we have of how the hierarchy works with masses of people. Bailey continues, he says, quote, it was the occult hierarchy, as they considered world conditions, which decided to direct a considerable stream of the available vitalizing influence of the New Age spiritual force into the Russian peoples. It was, writes Bailey, a great spiritual experiment. They, that is the occult hierarchy of spirit guides or demons, they studied the situation, measured its possibilities, and decided that it was worthwhile. They could see the destiny of those Russian people and the part they could play and would play in the end in the human family once they could respond to the new spiritual note. They, that is the occult hierarchy, sent disciples into Russia and focused their thought power on Russia, and Russia was stirred to its very depth by the New Age forces coming in. The hierarchical experiment with the people of Russia stands today as a great spiritual success in spite of the fact that the civilization in that great country and its people are now crucified by those who, because of the stimulant, fell afoul of the Messiah complex and had a thirst for power. He says, he continues to say, eventually out of Russia will come, as it has been prophesied in the New Age movement, for the benefit of the whole of humanity, the vision of the new religion. A new religion, a new world religion will come out of Russia, energized by demon powers. And that, according to one of the top leaders of the occult world. Interestingly enough, Don Bell reports had this to say in his own analysis, and Don Bell is a very fine, patriotic man who has been kind enough to communicate with me here at Power Prophecy. Don Bell writes, if we are talking about Gorbachev, the former head of Russia, Bell said, if we read his lips and believe what he says, there is to be a merger of the United States with the Soviet Union under the governorship of the United Nations and under the control of the financial elite. This is expected to bring about utopia, their new world order. Friends, think about that. The devils have got in and inspired the communists in Russia, and they're in hiding now from secret places, but the Illuminati, mostly Jewish, have taken control of Russia ever since the days of Lenin and Trotsky and Stalin. And they murdered the Tsar of Russia and his family. They burnt down and razed to rubble all of the churches in Russia. They terrorized and brutalized the Christians for decades, and they continue to do that in Russia today. I was recently reading that even the Salvation Army has been ordered to leave the modern-day nation. That's the year 2001 now of Russia. The Salvation Army has been ordered to leave Russia by Mr. Putin. I call him Mr. Putrid, the new head of Russia, who, as I said, was put there by the KGB, secret police and spy agency. Well, the fact is the Illuminati plot was to drive the Russian people into despair and then to merge Russia and the United States and then to drive us into despair as well, redistributing the wealth of the average American to Russia and causing all of us to be communist, common to the sense that we are all poor and we are all beholden to the few elite that will control this great colossus that will be known as Amorous. Amorous. Now, friends, you may be surprised, but I want you to understand that from the days of Franklin D. Roosevelt, when he met with Joseph Stalin at Yalta, and they decided how the world would be carved up, and FDR agreed to give billions of dollars in aid to Russia and allow Stalin to take most of Eastern Europe and Eastern Germany as well. From those days, even, FDR was treasonously selling America down the river. It's astonishing to me that a few years ago, Boris Yeltsin came to America to visit. He visited with President William Jefferson Clinton, and I found it astonishing that they decided to meet in a very special place, Hyde Park, New York. That was the home of Franklin D. Roosevelt, and that's where they have a presidential library in Hyde Park, New York. That's where they met. It was of symbolic significance that they do so, to show the world that FDR, being a Mason, high-level Freemason, and of course Stalin being a high-level Freemason, FDR being a promoter of the Council on Foreign Relations, and Lenin and Stalin being part of the CFR, Council on Foreign Relations Network, they were all as one. No wonder FDR used to talk about his Uncle Joe, Joseph Stalin, and how FDR gave Russia, he and the American bankers, so many billions of dollars in aid money and in help so that they could continue their mass cleansing of the Russian public with their gulags and concentration camps. And most of this was covered up for many, many years here in the United States because the controlled media didn't want you to know about it. Now, for some of you who want some of the information that I've been talking about, you may get a hold of this World Policy Journal, Fall, Winter 1992, available at many of the larger city libraries in the United States. And in the World Policy Journal, a Fall, Winter 1992, look for the article More Stars in Our Flag by Walter Russell Meade, which begins on page 581. You may also go to the library and look for a magazine called GQ, which I believe means Gentleman's Quarterly. GQ, Gentleman's Quarterly. Let's see, I have the magazine. Let me make sure I have the, it's March of, oh my, I don't have the year here. It was a few years ago. Let's see if I can, here we go, March of 1994. And you'll see an article entitled, Let's Buy Siberia. Let's Buy Siberia. You see, all of this is going to the think tanks. And Art Cooper, the editor in chief on page 34, says that how the article was written, that they paid this Walter Russell Meade. He spent a month in Siberia and was able to go there. And by the way, many of the officials in Siberia that Mr. Meade talked to and quoted, they're very positive. They say, yes, we want to become part of America. And I can understand why they would. Then, if you were able to get it, I don't know if you can, but you may get the European newspaper, 29 April to 2 May 1993 edition. And here's an article called Eastward Ho, The Saga of Siberia. It talks about, quote, the suggestion by the distinguished World Policy Institute reported last week in the European that Russia's problems could be solved by selling Siberia for $3 trillion to the United States. And they highly recommend it. And they mentioned the fact that Alaska, in fact, was sold by Moscow in 1867 to America for 2 cents an acre, and that Napoleon received only 3 cents an acre for Louisiana, the Louisiana Purchase. And they're recommending that be done there. Now, you say, well, we'll never get along with the Russians. We'll never go along with this. The American people won't. Don't think that, my friends. I want to give you some quick evidence of this. I just got the newspaper December 3rd, 2000, Baltimore Sun. Very interesting thing. It says, the people of Shcherbinka, Russia, want to put their little city, which is a few miles south of Moscow, on the map. How can they do it? They're going to raise a memorial to Admiral John Paul Jones, the man who first led our Navy in the Revolutionary War. Very interesting. The project is being led by Marat Salakayev, a former Russian naval officer. He says that most Americans don't know that Jones actually served for more than a year as a commander in the Russian fleet in the Black Sea before the American Revolution. Well, here's something else you may not know. Did you know that in the Soviet Union today, the Soviet republics and Russia, they're dollarized? That's right, they use dollars freely. They use dollars. And did you know that in the city of New York, from the airport there, according to New York Magazine, every day billions of dollars in actual cash in currency, in bills, are put on airplanes, loaded up, and brought to, sent to Moscow and Leningrad in Russia every day? Billions of dollars every day in our currency? They don't trust their ruble there, their own currency. Flow of greenbacks to Russia. This is Houston Chronicle, March 25th, 1995. Biggest savers of U.S. currency are in Russia, says the Moscow Bureau of another newspaper. Amazing things, isn't it? The U.S. dollar has become big in Russia. Here's an article from the European of July 1994. It's a picture of FBI Director Louis Freeh, and he's being given a tour of Russia. FBI moves into Moscow to take on the mafia, it says. The American FBI now has offices all over Russia. Here's another article from a Kansas newspaper from the Associated Press, August 25th, all the way back to 1992, Kansas to train Russian cops. Amazing things are going on. And you may know, it's on the paper all the time, even though they're technologically deficient, and we're the ones footing the bill for it, as a propaganda ploy, guess who is in space together? Of course. Here's from the Wall Street Journal, September 3, all the way back in 1993. U.S. and Russia join forces on space station. They pay, we fly together. Excuse me, we pay, we fly together. Did you know that even as far back as Reagan, President Reagan, the United States signed all kind of educational and cultural and scientific agreements? I have a picture here from the retired officer. Now, I'm a member of the Retired Officers Association of the United States because I'm a former and I'm a retired Air Force officer. Here's a big article in the Retired Officer magazine way back January 1990. Has pictures of Soviet naval craft. And there's all of these American admirals and Soviet or Russian admirals all working together. Of course. Did you know recently in Bosnia, in Europe, when our forces went in there, the Russians went in there to help us police Bosnia? But listen to this. This was from Time magazine, November 20th, 1995. It says, the Russians were under United States command. You know, we in America complain, and rightly so, we don't want our American soldiers under United Nations command. We say they should not be under the command of any foreign troops. The Russians don't seem to mind. Let me read it to you. It says, U.S. Secretary of Defense William Perry and Russian Defense Minister Pavel Grafchuk agreed on a unique command structure that would allow Russian troops to serve under the command of the Americans. Now, let me give you another shocking thing. This was first reported in Spotlight newspaper, then in Washington Week, and now in the London newspaper. I have from the Times newspaper out of London, have the internet edition here, January 2, year 2001. Russia is ready to build a 40 billion pounds, that's about 80 or 90 billion dollars, I think, given the currency exchange, tunnel linked to America. It says it would cost 40 billion pounds, take 20 years to complete, and then would link two of the world's most remote places. Yet a tunnel between Russia and America under the Bering Strait can and will be built, according to a senior Moscow official. A 60-mile tunnel under the international dateline from eastern Chukotka to western Alaska is only a matter of time, and the money for it is available. The tunnel would be the biggest project of its kind. And now the World Bank and the U.S. and Russian governments already have a draft agreement ready to sign. They're going to do it. You see, they're bringing us all together, my friends. Why? There's rich resources in these places. But first, we have to pay for it. They're going to tell us the surplus has enough. And it will end all of Russia's problems and all of our problems as well. My friends, the Illuminati is bringing it all together in these last days. There is an Illuminati plot to merge Russia and the United States. You're going to be hearing more about this. And I believe this is going to be broached to President George W. Bush. And we'll see what he has to say about it. But be watching out for news on this incredible project. Friends, this is Tex Mars. You know, we're warning you about these things because I'm convinced that Jesus Christ is coming soon, but we may have to go through some momentous trials before he does. You've come a long way, comrade. That's what the Associated Press reported after
announcing that a new volume of the works of Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, The Communist Manifesto, has been republished as a glossy $13 hardcover for release in New York and London on May Day. Evidently, the fashionable department store Barney's in London is even thinking about using the book as a window display. You have come a long way, comrade. Well, Americans think that communism is dead. The Iron Curtain has been torn down. Freedom is in Russia and in Eastern Europe. And everything is okie-dokie. We've gone to space with the Russians. We've invited them over to see all our military industrial complex. We've given them our fastest computer technology. All of our military arms and secrets have been moving over to the Soviet Union, or now called Russia, of course. And surely things are going to be just great. But you know, as I reported recently in an audio tape entitled Amorous, there is a plot to merge Russia and the United States. If we've got Russia this far into giving up communism, can we make it just be totally capitalistic and even join with us? Well, I think the Illuminati has something much deeper and darker in mind. Communism, as far as the Illuminati is concerned, is not dead. Not at all. You may think so, but I'll give you some proof today that it's not. And not only that, they do indeed intend that America and Russia be merged together as one, and maybe within just a few short years from now. And the conglomerate nation that results, which would be called Amorous, would be the only superpower in the world, and thus there would be a great confederation of nations into one juggernaut, one giant nation state, a global dictatorship, and its reigning political ideology would be Marxist, Leninist, Stalinist, communist. Now, in my newsletter, Power of Prophecy, and by the way, I haven't even told you, I hope you know you're listening to Tex Mars's Power of Prophecy. I got so interested in the subject, I just went right into it. I mean, you know, without even usually, as I do, introducing myself today as Tex Mars and saying hello, friends, as I normally do. And you are my friends. I don't mean to forget you. It's just that I'm a little bit upset and I'm concerned about this incredible conspiracy by the Illuminati elite. And I don't want to see America and its sovereignty ended. But as I talked about in my newsletter, Power of Prophecy, I even showed you the front cover of the Whole Earth Review, a major New Age journal or publication, dated way back in 1986, I think it is. They had a special issue talking about Amorous. If we could join Russia and America, oh, the world would be so great, says Mr. Bob Fuller, beginning on page 30 of this winter 1986 edition of the Whole Earth Review. Let me just read to you. He says, what if somehow a single sovereignty could be established on Earth? Could the world's different societies then develop in considerable harmony, side by side in federation, freed from the fear and the cost of war? With Russia and America merged into one nation, writes Mr. Fuller, let's call it Amorous, he says, so much stronger than any other nation or an alliance of all nations, a way through to the elimination of all national sovereignties
can be envisioned. It would not be easy, says Mr. Fuller, but it might well be managed, and possibly without the loss of many lives. In other words, there may be a few lives lost in merging Russia and America, but it could well be managed, he says, without the loss of many lives. Now, I suppose, friends, that you and I as patriots, people who say, absolutely, we're not going to go red. You know the old saying was, dead before red? Well, I'm sort of like that myself. Dead before red communists. I'd rather be dead. Well, I don't know about that, because even in a communist state, I'd sneak behind their backs and tell people about Jesus, so I suppose I'd rather be alive. I'll let God decide when I'll be dead, not the communist and its promoters. Well, but listen to him. There might be a few people that'll have to lose their lives. I guess the protesters, the dissenters. Might you be one of them, my friend? But he says the invincibility and dominance of Amorus could be established, and all other nations might be persuaded. Some might have to be coerced, he says, to disarm and join a representative world government. Many nations, Mr. Fuller writes, would probably submit to the new order willingly. You see what plans they've got for us? Now, this is not new. The foundations, such as the Ford Foundations and the others, have for years been promoting the merger of the United States and the Soviet Union. And I believe that the fall of the so-called fall of the Iron Curtain was just one little domino that they set to fall. Don't be fooled by the communist. They are not going to give up power that easily. It seemed that one day they were our implacable enemy, even stronger than us, the great Soviet bear with its armaments, and we had to shake at our boots because of their nuclear power, and they were the two superpowers, the United States and the Soviet Union, and the whole Cold War resulted with the CIA and the KGB, and then all of a sudden, presto! It all just vanished. Gorbachev came to power and it just plopped right down and said, we love you, West. We love you, Americans. We love you, Western Europeans. We want to be like you. Send us your money. Send us your love. Isn't that really what they did? But what was their real intention? Reminds me of a great beast that pretends like a possum to be dead. But when you get close to it to sort of hold on to its claws, to just to sort of feel of them, it suddenly reaches around and grabs you and squeezes you tight until you are dead. Watch out for this Russian bear. Maybe we better listen to the words of Mikhail Gorbachev, who even today is admired and loved by the glitterati, as I call them, around the world. You know, a few years ago, even the Republican National Committee, the Republican Party National Committee, had a big banquet, and they invited Mikhail Gorbachev to be their speaker. And Robert Dole was the master of ceremonies, former senator, former presidential candidate. And they paid Gorbachev $70,000 to be a speaker that night. Now, if you've contributed money to the Republican Party, I suppose some of your money went to Mikhail Gorbachev in this communist monster's pockets. Well, before the United Nations General Assembly, back in December of 1988, Gorbachev declared, quote, two great revolutions. Now, these are the words of Gorbachev. Two great revolutions, the French Revolution of 1789 and the Russian Revolution of 1917, exerted a powerful impact on the very nature of history. Now hear me, friends, this is what Gorbachev said. Let me tell you about it again. He said, the two great revolutions, the French Revolution and the Russian Revolution. Now, that was the French Revolution of the Jacobins and the Illuminati, 1789, and the Russian Revolution of Lenin, Trotsky, Stalin, and the Communists in 1917, exerted a powerful impact on the very nature of history. And indeed, Gorbachev is correct. Bloody, barbaric, monstrous, anti-Christian revolutions, first by the Illuminati, mainly composed of Jews. And then in Russia, that was in France, then later in Russia in 1917, the communist Jews under Lenin, Trotsky, and Stalin, Kaganovich, and others. Monstrous in its terror. And Lenin once told his aides, "We need to put more force in our terror." Gorby says they exerted a powerful impact on the very nature of history. He went on to say those two revolutions shaped the way of thinking that is still prevalent. Wow. A new way of thinking, and yet it's the old way of thinking, says Gorbachev. Now, Gorbachev now is head of a group called the Green Cross. You've heard of the Red Cross? Now it's the Green Cross. To save Mother Earth, to save the world. It's really red. And I don't mean the cross. I'm talking about this organization, the Green Cross. He says Russia stands at the crossroads. This is what Gorbachev was quoted as saying in Der Spiegel, the German magazine, back in January 1993. He says, but Russia will rise up like a phoenix from the ashes. I think that's very important. The Bible talks about this great bird that was destroyed but then rises up out of the ashes. A great ravenous bird, the Bible calls it. Yes, the Bible talks about the phoenix. You see, there is a legend in the occult literature that every 500 years, a new age comes. And the old ways that you think were destroyed are just transformed into new ways of thinking. The phoenix rises up from the ashes. My good friend Don Bell and his Don Bell Reports newsletter said what Gorbachev really intends is, quote, a merger of the United States with the Soviet Union under the governorship of the United Nations and under the control of the financial elite. This is expected, wrote Don Bell, to bring about utopia, their new world order. And Don Bell wrote about this even before people were talking about the new world order. Now, in my newsletter, I talked about the fact that the world's atlas and its geography was about to make a dramatic change. You know, in Ezekiel 38, chapter 38, verses 10 through 16, it says, thus saith the Lord God, it shall come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. I believe he was talking about Russia and Russia's invasion. Coming invasion, World War III, with Russia invading in the Middle East. I still believe that's going to happen. I do. And then I think there could be a world war there, World War III, and Israel will unleash its nuclear weapons. Those nuclear weapons, the secrets were given to the Israeli government by traitorous Americans. Yes, traitorous American Jews. Men like the Rosenbergs and women and Oppenheimer and others, I've got their names. You see, Senator Joseph McCarthy of Wisconsin told the truth. Now that the Russian archives have been opened, we now know that McCarthy told the truth. And Russia got our nuclear bombs, and so did Israel. That's the secret they're covering up now. But now Israel has 300 to 400 nuclear weapons, and I believe they will use those against those invading Russian troops. In the last days, I even think they will blow up the temple Mount Mosque, the mosque of the Arabs and the Islamic community there. And then they will be free to build their new temple. It will be the great temple of unity of the Masons and the Jews and the ecumenical false Christians and, yes, the Muslims. They will say it was a terrorist accident when the Temple Mount is cleared of all the rubble of the Dome of the Mosque, that great golden domed Islamic structure that now sits there. And then they will rebuild the old Herod's temple so that the Antichrist can go. You don't believe it? Well, read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You'll see what I mean. Well, the fact is, my friends, the Soviet Union has always been an economic and military dwarf. They could never have existed without the help of the United States. We built them into some kind of a giant, super giant, a great threat, when in reality, they were only there, the communists, because we allowed them to be. When the Russian Empire invaded Hungary in 1956, Eisenhower sat and did nothing. Earlier, when they took over most of the Baltics in the East in World War II, Roosevelt did nothing. Truman did nothing when the Russians took over Manchuria. He did nothing when Mao Zedong took nationalist China away and turned it into a communist concentration camp. And even today, we kiss up to the Chinese and to the Russians and give them our generosity, and they must be laughing behind our back. Back in 1971, I wrote a college paper entitled, "Will the Soviet Union Survive Until 1984? I think even my college professor looked at it and said, "Wow, this is incredible stuff, Dex Mars. Will the Soviet Union survive until 1984? It's interesting, though, that even in 1983, they were already beginning to talk about the breakup of the Soviet Union. And it was in 1984-86 era that Gorbachev and George Bush went to the Isle of Malta and forged their New World Order. And yes, the Soviet Empire supposedly was broken up, just as I had predicted back in 1971. But for how long? And was it not broken up only to be melded together back again, and this time with a new piece of the puzzle, the geographical atlas puzzle put in, the United States of America? Our CIA claimed it was a giant of a world power, but it was just a little midget, as it turns out. The real goal, of course, was not Russia, because Russia had already been conquered. The communists were the Illuminati. I want to repeat that. The communist Jews who subdued and took Russia, and even Sir Winston Churchill in the London Illustrated News in 1928 said it was the communist Jews who had taken Russia. He said by the hair of the head and turned it into a house of terror, said Sir Winston Churchill, later become the famous World War II Prime Minister who led Britain to victory against the Nazis. But the real question then was not how to conquer Russia. They had already conquered Russia, and they are in the process even now of melding it together with the United States. The problem is how to get America to go along with this new nation of Amorous. And I believe they figured out in the year 1944, that was when Franklin Roosevelt, a high-level Freemason, and I believe he was indeed a communist, certainly his wife, who was a lesbian witch, if there ever was one, Eleanor Roosevelt, and she was a lesbian because I've got the proof of it, the love letters between she and her lesbian lover, a woman reporter named Lorena Hickok. Read about it in my book, Big Sister is Watching You. That's the book that caused the FBI and the IRS and everybody else to come after Tex Mars when I reported these things. And I linked Hillary Rodham Clinton, who today communicates with a spirit guide of Eleanor Roosevelt. She believes she can communicate with the dead. And she communicates with Eleanor Roosevelt. Hillary has even admitted it, and I have quoted her. In my book, Big Sister is Watching You, an expose of Hillary Rodham Clinton and the other feminazis who ran the White House under Clinton and won it back again. You'll have to read the book, Big Sister is Watching You, and order it from us. Here's the plan that Stalin, who met in 1944 in a conference at Yalta with our president, Franklin Roosevelt, here's what they came up with. There would be two things that would happen. First, quietly and slowly, they would continue to inculcate and integrate Marxist communist ideals and practices in our society in the United States to transform this nation into a communist socialist paradise, even as the people asleep and stupid knew nothing about what was going on. My friends, you're one of the few that understand what's really going on in this world. And I praise God that He's enlightened us to this evil plot in the last days. The second plank of their plan to conquer America for communism was that after conditioning the American people to peacefully accept this socialism, the socialist paradise, under the guise of big government patronism, the coup de grace would come. It would be administered when the United States would be politically, economically, and culturally merged with the Soviet Union. And so AMA-RUS would become the new grand reality, a synthesis nation created out of the Hegelian dialectic of communism versus capitalism. You see, first they have what appears to be competition, the communist versus the capitalist, Russia versus the United States, but then suddenly they would come together in a synthesis as one. That's the Hegelian dialectic, the synthetic blending of two supposedly mutually exclusive opposites, but they take what they say is the better of both and they become one world. So we become a government that's run by fascist capitalist organizations, and yet only the elite, the plutocrats, have the money and the power, and the poor people get poorer and poorer. This is what Bill Clinton wanted. He didn't mind the rich. He catered to the rich Jews in America. No doubt about it. Remember when he gave that missile technology to Red China? It was because the rich Jew here in Texas, yes, he was in Texas, who owned that aerospace defense company, gave him millions of dollars. When Bill Clinton left office, he pardoned hundreds of people. One of them was Mark Rich, a man who was a very wealthy Jew that had given millions of dollars to Hillary and Bill and their causes. He had been guilty of millions of dollars of tax evasion, but that's okay. He fled and became a fugitive over in Switzerland, where he had all his money hidden in Swiss banks. But Mr. Mark Rich is back today, thanks to the pardon given him by Bill Clinton. And then there were the four Jewish leaders in the state of New York that had swindled and embezzled the United States government in scams out of $40 million and had been indicted and sent to prison. But don't worry, they also were pardoned. Oh yes, Bill Clinton had some big-shot Jewish friends on Wall Street backing him and bankrolling him. And he went along with this plan to create a new nation. And that's why he met so often with Mr. Yeltsin over in Russia. And he visited the communist nations. And even in the few months before he left office, he was visiting around the world of foreign capitals, trying to bring together this plot to create and merge the United States with Russia. Now here is the plot. America and Russia, to be called AMA-RUS, will be a geopolitical Frankenstein. When they finish with this nation and with Russia together, we will be an impoverished and conquered, clay and iron, as the book of Daniel puts it. Remember that about the beast? His features were a mixture of clay and iron, and therefore they could not cleave together, from the book of Daniel. We are to be a clay and iron mixed colossus made up of quivering multitudes of unthinking, moldable-minded citizens taught to love and admire Big Brother. And the lie. And to hate and despise the truth. You see, my friend, the face of George Washington is to be morphed, that is, blended, synthetically integrated with that of Vladimir Lenin, the communist monster who was the first dictator of this Russian communist system. Very few people know that Lenin had lived much of his life in other nations, such as in Germany. That his chief deputy, Trotsky, whose real name indeed was Lev Bronstein, had lived even in the Bronx, New York. Jews. And now, these Jewish monsters that gave us communism and saw to tens of millions being tortured and cruelly herded into the Gulag archipelago, the concentration camps, slave labor camps of Russia, and they dwarfed anything that Hitler and his Nazis did with their concentration camps. We're talking about as many as 30 to 50 million people dying in these Gulag concentration camps. And we don't see any movies or any books or any material about this horrible Holocaust of the communists. Why does Hollywood cover it up? We've seen Spielberg's Schindler's List movie. All well and good. It's okay to expose the Nazis. I don't have any truck with them, do you? No. But I certainly don't have any truck with these communists either. And they were worse than the Nazis and are worse than the Nazis. And their plot is to merge America and Russia. Editor Kevin Kelly wrote in Whole Earth Review, he said, at first glance, the idea of melding America and Russia seems preposterous, but the concept of Amoros is a work in progress, end quote. Note that. It's a work in progress. It's already going on. And friends, that was in 1986. And then we also read in Whole Earth Review, could the leaders, let alone the people of the United States, ever be brought to entertain such a plan? In grappling with this question, wrote Whole Earth Review, one's thoughts turn conspiratorial. Should everything be arranged in secret and then foisted on an unsuspecting world? In other words, maybe the American people won't go for this merger. Maybe it's got to be done conspiratorially and in secret, and then it can just be foisted on them. It can just be thrust on them as a fait accompli. It's all over with, folks. This is what we've got to do. We did it for your own good. It's sort of like Waco, the massacre, the butcher of Waco, Janet Reno, and Bill Clinton, her accomplice in evil, said, we did it for the children. And, of course, it was the children who were burned to death in Waco, wasn't it? So they have set in motion this stunning plan of the Illuminati. Now, I want to tell you some more about this plan. I want to tell you about what's been planned. And if they get their way, there will be a World War III, and it will result in the crushing defeat of Russia, and as poor and impoverished as that country is, it will then be on its last legs. But then will come the Messiah, America, to say, let us save you. We'll merge Russia, Siberia, all of your great mineral resources and wealth that sit in the ground. We will save you by taking these over and merging with you, and we'll become all one big megalith nation. And thus the whole world will come together as one. We'll build the new Temple Mount, the temple of the Jews and all religions in Jerusalem. It will become the headquarters of the United Nations. And I believe, reading Matthew 24, will know then that the end has come. This is Tex Mars. I've got another 30 minutes of incredible information for you. This is Amorous Volume 2, The Coming World War III, The Defeat of Russia, and the Prophesied War in the Middle East in Israel. I'll be right back after this message. In 1952, the U.S. Congress set up a select committee to investigate tax-exempt organizations. The chief investigator and director was a man named Mr. Norman Dodd of the U.S. House of Representatives. And in pursuing his investigation, Mr. Norman Dodd was invited to privately meet with Mr. Rowan Gaither, who was president then of the Ford Foundation. Now, that's a premier leftist organization, tax-exempt foundation, which, though active in funding communist-oriented causes, has been strongly supported by the media. Well, that's understandable. Most of them are commies, too. Now, during his visit, this visit by Mr. Dodd, Ford Foundation leader Gaither voluntarily made a stunning admission. He stated, and I want to quote him because this was from Mr. Dodd's own testimony. He stated, quote, "Mr. Dodd, we operate here under directives which emanate from the White House." Remember now, 1952. "We operate here under directives which emanate from the White House. We operate and control our grant-making," that's their money-giving-out policies, "as follows. We shall use our grant-making power so as to alter life in the United States that it can be comfortably merged with the Soviet Union." End quote. Did you get that, friends? Did you hear that? Their power, their grant-making power, is being used, he said. And that's based on directives directly from the White House now, so as to alter life in the United States so it can be comfortably merged with the Soviet Union. Isn't that shocking? Now, what the Illuminati hope to achieve first is a regional grouping to be called Amorous. It would combine the nations of the old Soviet Empire with those of the Americas. And eventually Amorous would be united with Europe, with Asia. That's China, Japan, India, Axis. All to be ruled as parts of a great, global, unscriptural, Zionist superstate, with its capital being the earthly Jerusalem. Now, a lot of people say, well, wait, a Zionist superstate? What would be wrong with that? A earthly Jerusalem, its capital of the world? What would be wrong with that? Let me tell you. Revelation chapter 11 says that the most wicked city in the last days is that city. Get this, friends. The most wicked city. The very city where the two witnesses of God go and they're slain and their bodies lay in the street and the whole world, actually, the world gives each other gifts. Everybody in the world celebrates and has a big party because the two witnesses of God are slain. I believe that is symbolic. The two witnesses of God, my friends, are those who are Gentiles, Christians, and Jewish Christians. In other words, Christians are persecuted, even being slain. And the whole world has a party and gives gifts to each other over it. And what will that wicked city be? Well, the Bible says that city, and it calls that city, quote, Sodom and Egypt. Now, friends, how would you like to live in a city that even God himself, in his book of Revelation, calls Sodom and Egypt? How much more wicked can a city be? Not San Francisco, not Tokyo, not Washington, D.C., not London, not Rio de Janeiro, even at the height of their big annual Mardi Gras festival in New Orleans. Could New Orleans be called by God Sodom and Egypt? Not New York City with its homosexual population, its publishers that make fun of Jesus Christ, its Broadway shows that are full of decadence and wickedness. Not even New York is called by the Bible Sodom and Egypt. But what city is? Well, the Bible tells you. It says that city known spiritually as Sodom and Egypt is that city wherein our Lord was crucified. I didn't make this up, my friends. Some people say, "Well, Texmars, do you hate the Jews? Do you hate Israel?" Of course not. I have great sympathy for Jews. And I preach Jesus to everyone that I can. And once they know Jesus, you know, they're not really Jew or Gentile. They become a new person in Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful thing. No Christian can be a racist. Because the instant you become a Christian, you're a citizen of another country, the country of heaven. That's where your passport is. You're just passing through here. You're not American. You're not German. You're not Mexican. Why, you're a heavenly creature. Paul said, the Apostle Paul said, you're situated in heavenly places. I criticize America more than I do Israel. But truth is truth. Facts are facts, and the Bible is it's the Bible. I'm not going to rewrite the Bible. I don't care how many people say you're anti-Semitic. I say, yeah, well, God is too then. But he's not. If he could be, I suppose, if people could make him into being an anti-Semite, God would be. But remember, Jesus came first to the Jews and then the Gentiles. Is that the act of an anti-Semite? And not only that, Jesus said that in the last days, he would graft in those Jews who accept Jesus as Lord. Graft them back in to that tree of life. That is the church of Jesus Christ, of which he is head. Would that be the act of an anti-Semite? Would an anti-Semite welcome Jews into his fold, saying, "Come back, prodigal son"? I don't think so. And Jesus identified Jerusalem itself, that city wherein our Lord was crucified, Revelation 11, as the latter-day Sodom and Egypt, and it will be. And let me tell you something. That's why Jews grabbed hold of Russia, because God had a long-term plan. These communist Jews, and that's what Lenin and Trotsky and Stalin were, grabbed hold of Russia. And they wanted to create a new world order utopia. So they grabbed hold of Russia first. And now they want to meld together, conquer the United States with propaganda. And the mind control methods they're using. And then they will mail the United States in. But first, there's got to be a great world war. I believe that. A great world war. Jesus talked about wars and rumors of wars in Matthew 24. Now, this earthly Jerusalem, then, I'm not talking about the heavenly Jerusalem. Because at the end of time, Jesus will bring his heavenly Jerusalem, and it will descend from the sky. You can read about that too. What a glorious event. The earthly Jerusalem coming down. The heavenly. I'm not looking to the earthly Jerusalem. That city is finished, my friends. History has already recorded. The annals of history, and I'm talking about Scripture, has said what is the fate of that city. I'm not going to glorify the earthly Jerusalem, but I'm looking forward to that heavenly Jerusalem because I'm going to have a mansion there. As the old Southern gospel tune says, just over that hilltop, my mansion. Well, Now you say, well, Tex Mars, that's pretty pompous of you. You're going to live in a mansion in heaven? You probably don't deserve it. Well, I probably don't. I know I don't. But I'm going to get it anyway. Because Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. That's what Jesus said. I'm going to trust him. You say, well, Tex Mars, you deserve to live in some little hovel. You're such a mean, mean man. That's what some people tell me. And I don't think I mean my wife, Wanda, loves me. My mother loves me. James, do you love me? James says if he has to, he'll love me. That's only because he works for me. No. We're teasing. I love James. He's been here for many years now. He puts out the newsletter, does a great job. And I'm Uncle Tex, his two precious kids. Well, and by the way, his daughter, Laura, has been diagnosed with something called Chiari. And it's a spinal a congenital defect of some kind where the spine doesn't quite meet up with the brain stem. And folks, we want you to pray about little Laura. She's the sweetest little girl. And I want you to pray for her. And if any of you know anything about this Chiari, which I've never heard of before, Chiari, I understand it in Missouri, James, right? They have a clinic there that specializes in that, although there are very few people. It's such a rare disease that come down with this. Sort of like a cousin to spina bifida. But you, I mean, she's even going to, you know, she does little flips on her, you know, like kids do. What do they call those things? Somersaults. Yeah, it's been a long time since I was a kid. And my grandkids do these things. Somersaults. She does all that, stands on her head, and it doesn't affect her now, but they say as she grows older, it's going to affect her. So we need to pray for Laura. Please pray for Laura. James Lundeen and his precious wife, Tanya, they've worked for us here. Well, Tanya hasn't. We'll probably try to grab her someday to work for us. But James, or the husband, has. He's the broadcast engineer, and he puts out our newsletter. I mean, puts it out. He's the guy that formats it. You know, I write it and everything, and then James puts it in a nice, makes it look pretty. So you have, we blame him. If it ever comes out and something's messed up, blame James Lundeen. Now you know who to blame. But please do pray for Laura. Now, I got off on a tangent here, and I'm sorry, but I thought that was important to talk about Laura, because she is, she's Uncle Tex's little angel, so we need to pray for her. Now, let's get back to this, what's going on. You see, the reigning planetary economic and political structure upcoming is going to be global fascism. Let me tell you what I believe about Zion. People say, Tex, you said something bad about Zionists. Yes, I did. Let me tell you why. I believe there can be no Zion without a king. And there is no king but King Jesus. If you try to set up a Zion without a king, you're going to go wrong. And if that king that you try to put on the throne is not King Jesus, you've made a dastardly mistake. He will be the Antichrist king. And that's why I'm against an earthly Jerusalem being exalted. I'm against a earthly Zion being exalted unless Jesus has come to be the king. So don't say I'm against Zion. Just say I'm against an earthly Zion. I'm for a heavenly Zion. I'm for no king but Jesus. If you got a problem with that, hey, you got a problem with the Bible. Don't complain to me. They said that John Ashcroft, in these nomination hearings for Attorney General, that was one of the things. They said he went to Bob Jones University, and he said he believed in no king but King Jesus. And all these senators, Senator Ted Kennedy, who claims to be a faithful Catholic. Oh, yeah, sure. Ted Kennedy says, this proves to me that you're going to be biased. You know, you're going to be a biased Christian. Hey, Ted, get in your car and drive some. Drive across bridges back and forth, would you? This time, don't bring a pretty young woman with you. Just drive by yourself. Well, I think you know what I'm referring to there. Now, this, my friends, is going to be a Frankenstein global system. And the United States is to be quietly terminated. Now, let me tell you what's happening. What's happening is that a Soviet blitzkrieg of their military, I think, will be caused by the Illuminati to go into the Middle East. I think what we're seeing now, especially if Ariel Sharon gets to be prime minister, he's a decided hawk. I think we're going to see things escalate. There may very well. I'm not prophesying this, but I am predicting it. Now, there is a difference. I believe it will occur. I'm not saying, thus saith the Lord. The Bible says there will be a great war and bloodshed and carnage in the Middle East in the last days. I'm not saying it's going to be right now in the next few years, but it could well be. All right? And I think the Soviet armed forces, with the Illuminati's approval, will move into Iraq, Syria, Iran, other Persian Gulf and Arab nations. And then Israel will see what's happening. They'll say, have you come to attack us as well? And then, of course, Israel will use its atomic bombs. All this will fulfill the prophecies. For example, Ezekiel 38, chapters 10 and 11. Israel will unleash its bombs. They now are the nuclear power of the Middle East. And then itself, they will be the Israel government, the Israeli people will suffer. There will be so many dead in Israel. And the whole world will mourn the dead. And the whole world will say, we cannot have a war like this again. How can we stop a terrible World War III like this from ever occurring again? And one thing we've got to do is help this poor Russia. They're totally devastated. Well, one way to do that is to merge them with the great, rich America. Devastated Russia, still with all of its mineral resources intact, oil under the ground, gold, zinc, all of those resources, diamonds waiting, and the big boys want them. They want to keep getting them and harvesting them. And the best way to do it, of course, is just to merge Russia with the United States. I believe that even the Masons back in 1871, Albert Pike, their sovereign grand commander of Scottish Rite Freemasonry in the United States, and Mazzinghi over in Europe, plotted out this plan for World War I, World War II, and then finally the finale, World War III in the Middle East. And it's all planned, and that's how they're going to bring together. You know, Gorbachev has said, we're going to create a community whose territory will span from Vancouver, Canada, to Vladivostok, Russia. That's what he's going to do. Now it's going to be even greater, though, and come across the continent of the United States of America. That is, unless God confounds it all. It's all in God's hands in these last days. Well, this is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. We've been talking about Amorous. This has been part two of our two-part series, Amorous, the Illuminati plot to merge America and Russia. Tune in each week, my friends, during this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.